The following presentation, JISC AIM Activities, was given by Dr. Rhys Smith of Janet at NET Workshop 42 in April 2014.
Elements I've been asked to go through. You'll be aware of the fire exits to your right, and there are no scheduled alarms. Just as courtesy to speakers, if you have turned your phone off silent to take a call, make a call during the break, turn it back to silent, please, or off, or however you wish to do that. I've been asked to make a plug for the lightning talks. It is a good opportunity to rant about something or try and do something thought-provoking if you have thoughts provoked as a result of anything at NET Workshop. I've been asked to mention about special dietary requirements. There's quite a lot that have been ordered, and about 30 weren't collected at the last meal. So if you have them, if you have asked for a special dietary requirement, please just ask and it will be provided to you. Off sessions following this, there are five. Details on your program about which rooms those are in, starting at 4:15 after the plenary session this afternoon. Conference dinner this evening leaves for the Royal Armouries at 7:15, and it goes from the Leeds City Hotel, not from the Doubletree. So if you're in the Doubletree, if you go down into the main tunnel section, turn right, go to the end, turn right again, that's where they're going from. And It's fine. Thank you. Okay, in terms of speakers for this session, we have a change to that scheduled. We're going to start with a presentation from Dr. Rhys Smith, who is our technical lead on all things Federation, and then Alex and Stefan, who's around somewhere, hopefully. Nope, he's going to make me sweat. Okay, Janet Community Groups for you all. If you want to, they're on the slide set, but just if you want to make a note of any of those. And that's it for me. So without further ado, I'm going to get us going with an update from Rhys on AIM activities. That worked? No, it hasn't worked.
Go back to the slideshow.
F5.
No.
Fascinating.
Interesting.
It is. Full screen. Okay, that's.
And now I've closed it.
Yeah.
Good start.
Recent. Yeah. Read it that way.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what the hell, let's just do it this way. Right, hello everyone. I think you can all hear me. Tell me if it's too loud. I'll move the microphone a little bit further away from me. As Henry said, I am not John Chapman. As your programs may suggest, John is elsewhere, so I've stepped in for him. We're going to be talking this morning about JISC AIM stuff, what we're doing and where we're going. I'm just going to give you a quick overview of the services that we have, what we're going to be doing with them, and upcoming services. And then, as Henry said, we'll be handing over to Alex to talk specifically about the UK Federation, and Stefan, if he turns up, to talk about his experiences with Moonshot. Stefan works at Diamond, he's one of the main he's one of the first people to start using it in production. So he'll be talking a bit about that later. So, where are we at the moment? JISC and AIM services. We have three production services, essentially. We have the UK Access Management Federation, which is federated single sign-on for web stuff. The common theme you'll see throughout all of the JISC AIM stuff we're going through today is federation. Big believers in federation, where, if you don't know what that is, federation is devolving the management of identities down to the actual organizations, because you know your users better than we do. So your users can use their home credentials to access remote things. So we have the UK Federation. Hands up here, anyone who knows their, if their institution is a member of the UK Federation. Hands up, Phil, I know. Yep. So most people are, which is about right, because coverage of that at the moment is pretty much all of HE, a lot of FE. I think that's on the next slide anyway. So anyway, UK Access Management Federation. So single sign-on for web stuff, based on SAML, and has been around since 2006, so 8 years in production, and I think since 2004 in development. So actually 10 years now. You know, this is not new technology. We have Eduroam. Hands up here who's connected to Eduroam at this very moment. Hands up who's writing email and not listening to me. So similar idea, federation, except instead of federation for web stuff, it's federation for network access. And it's all based on RADIUS, which is a protocol which is probably as old as I am. Originally designed for dial-up modem connections, authenticating dial-up modem connections. Been around since 2005, question mark. I'm actually finding it difficult to find out when we started. We have 2005, Mark. I found references to Mark doing the Network Shop 33 location independent networking trial.
Thanks.
So, 9 years, at least, we've been playing with it. Eduroam itself was first created, well, the idea was first mooted in 2002 by Klaus Wieringer of SurfNet, now Cisco. So, 12 years around, that's been around, theoretically. Again, not new technology. And we have certificate service. Not quite federation, but it fits in because it helps with access and identity management and security and this kind of thing. Service does issues SSL TLS certificates at the moment, so it's all X509 based. And that service has been around for 2006, so 8 years. So again, these are all pretty well used services now. Most people make use of them. And they're pretty well established. We have another one in development. Fourth service we're currently developing, which is the Moonshot, which is federated access to anything. So the previous three allow you to do federated access or certificate-based access to certain applications, web, networking. X509 is a bit more fiddly, but they're kind of constrained use cases. Moonshot is this idea of putting federation to anything. That's what we're playing with. I'm not going to go into too much detail now. You can talk to me later if you want to know more about it. That's based on something called the ABFAB standard, which is an IETF working group, which we're involved with heavily. So the IETF is the Internet Engineering Task Force, if you don't know, and they control such minor standards as IP, TCP, HTTP, little things like that. So we've been working through the IETF to standardize all of this. It's in the ABFAB working group, which is not a backronym, honest. And that's been around since, well, kind of now, because we're still playing with it. But it's been in development for a few years now. It takes a while to standardize things. So those are the services we have. How big are they? UK Access Management Federation, as of when Alex emailed me this morning, has 956 members. So we cover essentially 100% of HE. One or two missing, but the usual suspects that aren't universities. So things like federal institutions where the actual members are members of the federation, but not the overall thing. So essentially we've got 100% of HE, we've got about 80% of FE, and a certain percentage of schools. Now that's relatively low, but we're doing some work on engaging more with schools at the moment. How much does it do per year? No, that's not a mistake in the slides. We have no idea. We have no idea how many authentications are enabled through the use of the UK Federation. This is another piece of work that's ongoing. It's hard for us to justify to our funders the investment in this when we have no idea how much is being used. So we're doing stuff like just funded the creation of the Raptor project, which is a piece of software which can sit and do accounting alongside your Shibboleth or OpenAthens LA IDP and send information up to Janet, aggregated about how much use is going on. So that software has been around for a couple of years now. I know there's a few people in the room who use it a bit. And we've only got 5 or 6 institutions sending this aggregated information to us at the moment. But we're just getting to the stage where we're going to start pushing for that and asking people who are using it to send us this information, because it's really, really, really useful. Eduroam. 265 members in the UK, and 53 other countries are members of the Eduroam consortiums. So you can now go and roam in the US, Canada, Australia, and 49 other countries, which I won't list. Give you an example of usage. In February, Eduroam, where we do have some view of stats, because there is a central point where roaming authentications go through, we saw just under 400,000 unique devices in February. Making use roaming between institutions. So this does not count devices within an institution that don't roam. So that's pretty well used. Certificate service, 737 customers. We've issued about 55,000 certificates in the lifetime of the service. Only 2% of them are high assurance certificates, so EV certificates, which we would like to change. Talk more about that in a bit. So 55,000 certificates, quite a bit of usage again. We introduced the charging model a year or so ago now to help make the service sustainable. Still, it offers certificates at a significant discount compared to commercial providers, but helps us cover the cost of running the service now. The scale of service of Moonshot, by the way, is, well, there isn't one at the moment because it's just a pilot. What else do we do apart from run services? We liaise with other people. We represent you. We represent the community. So people like Cabinet Office, NHS, BBC, international partners, SDOs, industry, all the people who are doing things around identity and access management themselves. So we're seeing what they're doing, seeing if there's anything we can learn to help the community, telling them about what we're doing, because we're, in some respects, we're quite advanced compared to a lot of the other sectors, so helping them out, and influencing where necessary. So where people are doing, creating new standards and things like that, making sure that our use cases, our context, fits in with what they're doing. We're identifying new opportunities, so we're keeping an eye on state of the art to see what's coming along. So things like the UK Federation, when that came along 10 years ago, well, when SAML was created in 2001, the JISC were keeping an eye on it and decided that was the way forward. So we created the service around it. We're also identifying areas where there are gaps that need to be filled, so things like Moonshot. We said there is a gap, there's nothing that can address it, what can we do to fix it? So we stuck technologies together in new and horrifying ways and made them fit the use cases and then work with our partners to standardize it. So that's the kind of thing we do. It's also the just co-design approach we're talking about. It's worth saying that JISC has always, of course, worked with the community to figure out what they need and build services around it. But the new JISC has the new co-design approach, which is a refocusing of that, of working through what the community wants through to services and making sure that everything we do is actually relevant and is going to be useful. So, we've been doing AIM for a decade, and we've learned a fair few things. And we're just in the process of taking stock, looking at the lessons we've learned over the years, seeing where to go forward, and looking to see how we can consolidate these 3, soon to be 4, services into a more coherent offering, because they all do the same thing, just in a different way. But for each of them, you have to sign up to them separately. You have different technologies to do them all. You have to have different contacts in place who deal with them all. But they're all one AIM thing, just with different technologies behind the scenes. So we've been developing an AIM strategy and plan, and this is what John's been doing. So as Henry said in the intro, I'm basically the kind of technical architect for all this. John is the strategy guy. So we've been developing the high-level mission and vision and all those kind of good things. We have an implementation plan of where we're moving our AIM services in the next 2 years. We went to consultation with the community the end of last year. You may or may not have heard of this. We published our strategy in January, and we will be reviewing it annually. So all comments are welcome. This is not something that's set in stone. It's something that's going to evolve over time. And if you want to look at it, it's at tinyurl.com/jiskaim. And it looks like that. You don't have to bother reading it. The important thing here is the strategy is that, 2 pages, nothing more. So it's not a hard read. The implementation plan for the strategy is a few more pages, and that's just how we're going to be addressing the strategy. You know, the strategy is saying this is what we want to see in the future, and our implementation plan is how we're actually going to go do it. And an overview of some of the stuff that's in there, some of the futures. Screensaver kicking in doesn't help on these. Is that what we're going to do with the UK Access Management Federation? We're going to attempt to widen the usage of it from the sectors that are currently involved. So we're going to try and get FE and schools more involved, trying to get industry more involved to make it a more useful resource for members of the Federation. You know, you've put the investment in, you've set up the technology, you've got it working. Let's make more services available to actually be used on it. Alongside that point is branching out beyond the traditional e-resource usage of the Federation into other things. So Microsoft's recent announcements on extended SAML support for Office 365, for example, is, you know, going to be interesting, because you can start doing things like that with the UK Federation, or rather with the technologies that underpin the UK Federation. We're doing interfederation with global partners, again extending the reach of the Federation. The UK Federation is currently bounded within the UK, although actually technically it's not, because we are doing interfederation. Interfederation is, we have a federation, America has a federation, Canada has a federation. It's connecting them all together so we can access each other's services. And we are, Alex may be talking about this later, we're currently members of EduGain, and we have some European entities in our federation now, so you can now access services from other federations. We need to better understand the usage of what's going on in the Federation. So things like the Raptor tool will help there. And for you guys, we're going to try and make things easier to deploy. Some of the comments we get back are, it's too hard to do. So we're going to see what we can do about that, which may or may not include managed services, you know, IDPs in the cloud and that kind of thing. What are we going to do with Eduroam? It's all quite similar, but it's, so we're going to try and widen the usage of Eduroam. We're going to try and increase the coverage, particularly in FE. Just at the moment has a focus, you know, we've pretty much got blanket coverage across most of HE, so the next step is to try and get it across FE. The more the merrier. Also interesting things like when you have connected cities issuing tenders, or, you know, call for, tenders for connecting the city up, seeing if we can get Eduroam in places like that. And we've done some interesting trials with things like Eduroam on coaches and things like that. So we're seeing where we can get it, making it more useful for the community. And again, easier to deploy, manage services, things like that. Make it easier for you guys to actually get connected. And that's particularly important, of course, for FE and schools and people who have less resource than maybe some of the bigger institutions. What are we doing with the certificate service? Currently re-procuring it with the aim, one of the core parts of the re-procurement is to make it less effort to get certificates, because there's too much manual stuff at the moment. You have the current supplier phoning you back every time you make a certificate request to make sure the certificate was coming from you, and phone calls are just so 19th century. So we're going to see what we can do to improve that. Also increase the assurance. Only 2% are EV certificates, and the higher the level of assurance certificate, the better, really. But at the moment, only 2% are EV because the process of getting them is so long and arduous. So we're going to see what we can do about reducing the effort required to do that whilst maintaining the security necessary to keep them high assurance. And also potentially increase the flexibility. So going to start doing things like offering code signing certificates and personal certificates and all those kind of things. So we'll see where we get with that. Of course, Moonshot itself is a future. We're continuing the pilots. There's a UK pilot and the European-wide pilot. Those are concluding towards the end of this year, and we'll be looking to turn it into a service next year. Going pretty well so far, really, the pilots. You can do things like, at the moment, federated SSO to SSH and to web stuff and email and lots and lots of things. We're also playing with things like federated access to things like the Windows desktop itself, which we haven't done much with yet. That's coming towards the end of the pilot because that's a lot more complicated. But interesting ideas. Yeah, but, to be able to roam between institutions and log into a Windows desktop with your remote credentials. So kind of interesting, pretty cool stuff. Co-design, features of co-design, it's currently raising awareness of good identity management. There's not much we can do in terms of helping you do identity management in your institutions technically, because it's a very institution-centric thing, but we can at least provide best practice. And we wrote a identity management toolkit a few years ago, and we updated it a year or so ago, and that's available, so we're publicizing that. And it's also doing some work about improving the user experience of federated access, because that's something the co-design process has told us the community doesn't like at the moment. That's about it, really. That's what we do. That's where we're going. If you want to learn more about the UK Federation, stay where you are, because Alex is up next. If you want to learn more about Moonshot, stay where you are after that, assuming Stefan turns up. If you want to learn more about Eduroam, the BOF is in session 2C later today, 4:15. If you want to learn more about certificate service, Simon is sat by there, who's the service manager of it. Any questions?
Questions for Rhys? Yes.
David Kane from the University of Kent. With the increasing availability of Eduroam, and I support the efforts that you're putting in, we're coming up against more of the Russell Square problems.
Yep.
What are you doing, or is anything being done to possibly address that, either through advice or through technical measures?
So the question is about the Russell Square problem, which I suspect most of you don't know what the Russell Square problem is. In Russell Square in London, there are seven universities, all in the same square, all offering Eduroam, and your laptop may decide to switch to an access point. You know, it decides there's an access point with stronger signal, let's switch to it. Except here, if you're sat here today, you might switch from that access point to that access point, and it's all connected to the same network. If you switch from that access point to one operated by a different university, which has different, it'll have a different set of IP addresses, different firewall rules, all of a sudden what you were doing might suddenly stop working. And the user has no idea why. So that's the Russell Square problem. There's only a certain amount of stuff we can do, because it's all, you know, IEEE standards based, but there are standards forthcoming, like the Hotspot 2.0, which is based on the 802.1 or .11U standard, which allows you to add consortium roaming IDs into, not just SSIDs, so you can add extra information into the way network roaming happens. So there are standards forthcoming, but not many things support them yet. So for example, the latest Android devices do, I think, and maybe like Windows 8.1, some of the very, very latest stuff supports it. So we are looking at that and how to roll that kind of thing out. But we're having to work with the pace of technology. But it is a very valid concern. Any other questions? Are we done?
Okay.
Over to Alex.
I'll just ask everybody to thank our speaker then.
This recording was brought to you by Janet Training as part of NetWorkshop Online. Further information is available on our website at www.ja.net/training.